We're going to be continuing our series entitled Emmanuel, God with Us, as we look at the four gifts, the four words that we focus on during Advent season. Today we're looking at our peace, our Prince of Peace. So today's scripture can be found in the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter, verses 26 through 38. You can find that on page 831 in your pew Bible, or if you're in your own Bible, Luke chapter 1, verse 26. I invite you, if you can and are able, to stand in honor and reverence of the reading of our gospel this morning. Luke 1, starting with verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdoms there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let's pray. Gracious God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Peace. Peace is one of the four words, the four gifts that we celebrate at Advent. But I was reading this comic strip from the Peanuts. Y'all know the Peanuts group? It says, in one of the Peanuts comic strip, Charlie Brown and his little sister Sally are talking. Sally proclaims that she has inner peace, but is really restless. She starts ranting and raving about someone she doesn't like. And Charlie Brown says, "I thought you had inner peace." Sally says, "I do, but I also still have outer obnoxiousness." Peace. I want you to think about that for a minute. What does peace mean to you? Now, some of you may be sitting there this morning and you're wondering what peace, because you hadn't found it or experienced it or felt it in quite some time. And just like we talked about last week, biblical peace and the peace of our modern day, two completely different things. It's safe to say that most of us would agree that our world, our nation, is not at peace. From the hurricanes to the fires to turmoil to disagreements between human governments, there's not a lot of peace in our world. But what would you say about your peace within your family, within your heart, within your relationship with God? See, oftentimes we struggle, like Sally, with that outer peace, and we struggle with the outer peace because we truly don't have the inner peace. We lose sight of it, or sometimes we just let other people take it away from us. Today we read about the beginning of the Christmas story from Mary's perspective. It's a story full of peace. This young, engaged woman gets a visit from an angel. And we know that when angels come, they have to bring peace to them. Do not be afraid. She is told that the Lord is with her. I bet that young, scared Virgin Mary found that to be peaceful. She's told that she has found favor with God. I think if I heard that, I would be pretty peaceful. Then she's told she will have a son and name him Jesus. Now, Mary, being in the culture that she is, when she hears that name, she would know exactly the ties to that and what that name stood for, that Jesus meant he was going to save his people. A blend from Joshua and Yahweh to come up with Jesus. So she knows the context, so that has to be peaceful, that not only am I been given this child, but this child is going to save the people. Then she's promised that this child of hers' kingdom will never end. Parents, grandparents, if somebody promised you that your child would be successful forever, would that make you peaceful? Would it take away some of your worries? If somebody could assure me that my two kids will forever be great at what they do and they will have wonderful lives and nothing will ever take that away from them, I would sleep a little bit better at night. This passage is full of examples of peace, but it's really Mary's response that I want us to take away. We learn that Mary has to be a person of great peace by the way she responds to this situation. Mary knew that peace, shalom as they would have said, comes from being in right standing with God. That peace comes from nothing else. Mary knew that peace had nothing to do with her circumstances. I'm going to repeat that because I think some of you need to hear it. Peace, eternal peace, has nothing to do with your current circumstances. Your current circumstances will change. They will get better. They will get worse again. They will get better again. And they will get worse again. But our peace is in the promise of eternal life. And we'll leave this world behind. I'm ready for it. Somebody asked me the other day, I've been joking with the little Wednesday morning group. Somebody asked me the other day, what's my retirement plan? And I said, Jesus is coming back. And they laughed at me. And I said, no, I'm for real. They're like, but what if he doesn't come back before you need to retire? So that's what I'm praying he does. Just come on back. And I don't want that to make me sound like I'm tired of living or anything like that, but I'm ready to live in his presence forever. I'm ready for hope, peace, love, and joy to be experienced by everybody every single day. There's an author named J. Oswald Sanders, and you may have heard this quote. It says, peace is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of God. It's safe to say this morning that you may be sitting here with present troubles. Your peace comes from the presence of God. So if you find yourself this morning struggling with those troubles and you can't quite find the peace, we need to invite the presence of God. Mary isn't free from question. In some translations, it says that she was confused and disturbed. In ours that I read this morning, it said perplexed. She didn't understand, but she decided she was okay with not understanding. See, our relationships with God sometimes are very much that way. There are times that God will ask you to do things that are uncomfortable. Things will happen in your life that are not pleasant. It's how we respond and where we turn in that moment, in those moments that determine our peace. This is a season of peace. It's a season of joy. It's a season of hope. It's a season of love. But some of us lose our peace the minute we quit eating Thanksgiving because we're fighting over the toy at Walmart. There's no peace in that. There's no peace in some of the commercial things that we've put on this season. See, we're not the world. We're the people of God. So we're called to keep the season what it is intended to be. This is a passage I put in here I wasn't going to read because it's a tough passage for me because the only time I ever read it's at funerals. And I just quite haven't got over the fact of the last time I had to read it. Most of you will be familiar with this passage. If you've ever been to a Methodist funeral, you've heard it. But it's John 14. It's a variety of verses pulled from John 14. And it's put together and it flows like this. Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I'm going. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid." Peace is an amazing gift given by God, revealed to us through the Christ child in a manger. And then Jesus goes on to tell us that it stays with us through the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. Peace is a beautiful thing. It frees you from trying to please the world. Do you hear Jesus say that? "I don't give to you as the world gives." I've learned something. And some of you will attest that I've not learned anything in my first 3 years of ministry. But what I have learned is this: you can't please everybody. But when I lay my head down at night, I have peace. That's when we pray. That's when we fast. That's when we discern things. That's when we find God's will. And once you find God's will, Jesus promises peace regardless of what the world thinks or gives. I got a whole nother sermon I'm about to start, but I'm going to stop. Because it's Christmas season and I want to be nice. But Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter if you're dealing with the stresses of middle school and high school. If you're a parent who's been stuck in a tough situation. If you're a grandparent who is struggling with family situations. It doesn't matter if you're dealing with the loss of a loved one. If you're going through the holidays brokenhearted. None of that matters if you've placed your trust in Jesus. Because he promises you peace. The world gives grief and heartache and brokenheartedness and hatred. Jesus gives us peace. It's the old coaching adage. It makes me sick to even say these things that other coaches say because I used to think I was original. But every coach that's ever coached has said something along the lines to his team: if you give all you got for your brother or sister next to you, at the end of the game or match or whatever, you will have peace with the outcome. Because that's all you can control. I've said that so many times, it makes me sick. And I'll be honest with you, as a coach, that doesn't make you feel any better. Because if the game doesn't turn out the way you wanted it to, there is no peace. You're going to stay up all night trying to figure out how you could have done better. But I promise you this, as a player, as a competitor, every time I walked off the field of the court, and I knew I gave my all. I moved on to the next one. And I wonder if our walk with Christ wouldn't be the same way. That if each and every day we gave our very best, we did our very best for Christ, if at the end of the day we couldn't lay our head down and say, Lord, I failed again today, but I'm at peace because I know you were with me, and I'm going to get up and try again tomorrow. Sitting there this morning enjoying my cup of coffee. I just had one cup this morning. And I don't know if y'all had the Bible app on your telephones and stuff, but it pops up every morning a verse of the day. Now tell me God's not working. Verse of the day, Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep you over. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. I didn't plan that. This app sent that out to millions of people. Sermon was already done. Advent season, we already were doing peace. And then God drops this on the table, my phone, and probably some of y'all's this morning. God does not promise us we won't go through the waters, through the rivers, and through the fire. But he promises to be with us. And the water, the rivers, the fire, the people that hurt you, will not overtake you because Christ is with you. Mary knew it. Mary knew it. We know it most of the time. Sometimes we may forget. But our peace comes from being in right standing with God. But as we see in this passage from Isaiah, that also includes being obedient. Mary was confused, she was disturbed, but she was filled with peace. Two verses just stuck out to me over the last few weeks. Verse 37 said, "For nothing is impossible for God." It might be time this morning for you to share something you think is impossible with God. In verse 38, if you don't get anything else out of today, get this. Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." That should be our response each and every morning when we get up. For a God who sent his only begotten son to be born in a manger. Advent is a time of peace. Our peace comes from the wonderful counselor, our mighty God, our everlasting Father, our Prince of Peace. Our peace comes from Emmanuel, or as we say in Welford, Emmanuel. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.